You're listening to the 405 Exchange Podcast. My name is Ken Grandpierre. Today's episode is with Laura Jean Anderson. This song, it's really something else. Her debut project, Lonesome No More, is full of songs that pay homage to the past while joyfully running towards the future. Throughout the course of the songs, we have Laura's voice as a guide, showcasing her reliable accounts of her experiences, while also showcasing her feelings beautifully embedded within every harmony. It was a real pleasure making this talk happen. Laura is one of those people who can't help but be herself within every situation that presents themselves to her. We talked about the project as well as her childhood and why being a musician was always going to happen for her. This is the 405 Exchange with Laura Jean Anderson. Enjoy. So it's a pleasure being sat here with you. One of the things that I love about people listening to this is that there's a good amount of people who are going to be listening to this who have no reference to who you are. Mm. And with that, it's always helpful going back to the beginning. So when did music start for you?
Oh, man. I grew up singing music in church. It was kind of my intro to music. And so a lot of old hymns, traditional music. And beyond that, my dad is a lover of old 70s rock music and stuff. So yeah. So that's kind of where it began, and I guess it was kind of just a distant dream for me to write songs and be do rock and roll music. Yeah. But I ended up. So I actually was planning, it was kind of always just oh yeah, I would love to do that, but that doesn't happen. How do you, there was no one in my hometown that was a musician or a professional musician or did that whole path.
Yeah.
So I was on the path to be an environmental engineer was what I wanted to do.
Okay, wow.
And and this was in high school, and then I kind of had made the decision maybe I should just apply to one music school. I'm not gonna go, but I should just do it. And I ended up going down to LA and auditioning for this school called CalArts.
Yeah, I'm familiar.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. And it was kind of one of those things where I ended up having bronchitis, so I was I couldn't hear out of my ears.
Oh, fuck.
It's this really intense thing. So I went down there being all right,
yeah.
Here we go.
Should probably point out for people who are unfamiliar with it, that's one of those sicknesses that was just that will shut you down.
Yeah, and it was I was applying to sing opera music, which is a totally different. So I'm oh man, this thing's Mozart.
A form of singing picks up your whole body, literally.
And it was kind of a miraculous moment where I was you know what? I'm down here. I'm just gonna try to sing. So I went in there. I was I have bronchitis, but I'm gonna sing to you. And I ended up getting in, and it was kind of one of those really. I was this has got to be a universal reason. So it was kind of one of those things where I'm just gonna go for a semester. No way in hell am I ever gonna be able to afford this, And it just semester led to semester, and it just always kind of figured it out. And after a couple years, I left and traveled and kind of did my own music exploration, and was out of the country for a while. And was when I came back in the country, I met up with a bunch of these really amazing old time musicians up in Santa Cruz.
Yeah.
And they're the kind of, it was a lot of busking culture, but we ended up doing a lot of song trading and check out this song from 1910, and you just nerded out on all this old music, and that kind of gave me the fire to
to continue music. So I've just been at the grind ever since. So
that's so dope. You know, something I'm really curious about, like when I went to college, like prior to going to college, I grew up in London and in Westchester, but I say London, mostly the outskirts of London. Mm-hmm. But something that was really pivotal for me when I went to art school was that prior to that, I had never been around people who are trying to be artists 24/7. And there's something that's really like invigorating about that. Yeah. I mean, it's a bit comical as well.
Yeah.
But because it's like, for people who haven't been to art school, it's pretty much just an environment where people try to outweird each other.
Yes. Yeah.
I imagine it was like that at college.
Oh, absolutely. And it definitely was. I had never been around a single person who called themselves artists.
Yeah, same.
And so I would laugh. I would call people at home and be like, I'm at this place, and people are calling themselves artists, but they're 18. Like, you're not an artist? Like, we're not artists. Like that's a name for when you're like Picasso, or when you're like, you know, Jimi Hendrix. Like, it's
but there is like a nice shift that happens when you realize that like environments like that do exist, mm-hmm. where it's like. Because when you're in an environment like that, you realize that people are thinking about their creativity all the time, and
yeah.
it kind of allows you to do the same. I imagine that was the case for you.
Yeah, definitely. And it was a very like liberating experience for me. I was raised in a very like conservative family, and so to like go to California and have this like wild art school. I didn't wear shoes for 4 years. I just like went full like.
You went full hippie.
I went full hippie. Just like had like, you know, like beads in my hair. Didn't wear shoes. Like just like dumpster diving and like living in this like crazy garage. It was like one of those like, all right, do it, you know.
In case anyone is wondering, it is November 16th. We just had a lot of snow here in New York.
Yes.
And I'm saying this now to let you know that Laura is indeed wearing shoes right now.
I am. Just so you know, I've overcome my barefoot phase.
I'm really keen to ask you about your music, because the first tune of yours that I heard was Love You Most. Mm. I don't know exactly how I heard it. I think I heard it like actually out and about in a bar, but it was one of those moments where I was like, what is that? And I found myself paying attention to the words, which actually rarely happens to me. I usually like listen to music, like I'll hear the sonics for like ages, and I'll hear the words maybe like a year or two later. But that was one of those songs where like it grabbed me, and like right away it made me go like, oh, these words are like kind of important. And what really stuck me out with the track was your singing, particularly how much emotion comes through all over the track. I think that's the reason why the words grabbed me so much. So what was your experience like recording that track? Because that track's very special.
Yeah. I actually wrote that song when I was in New York. So that song like very much feels like New York to me. And it was one of those things where I just kind of had played it a lot, and like played it a lot live, played it here live, and like in LA and all this stuff. And it was actually kind of a really spur of the moment, but I was working with this producer, and we had just made a song. And at this point, we weren't sure if we were gonna make a full record.
Yeah.
We're just kind of like doing songs, and I came in there one morning and he was like, hey, what have you been working on lately? And I didn't think we were gonna even like do anything with whatever I was gonna play. I was like, I'm just gonna play him a song.
Yeah.
So I played him that song. We tracked it just like that. So just like me, vocals, guitar, and then we were like, let's make this like a song. And so the original, it's like an original vocal take.
Yeah.
Like everything is like as is, and then we kind of built stuff around it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it was cool. It was kind of unexpected. I was like, in my head, I'm like, okay, I'm going in the studio. Like, I'm gonna track, you know, do this song or this song. And it was kind of like a very guttural, like, I want to play this song right now. This is what I'm feeling. And then we just like captured it. And
When you have an experience like that, like when a song gets elevated past a place where you'd even originally envisioned, does that make you feel differently about the song?
Yeah. It does. Sometimes it takes a while to hit. Like, you don't know. I know each song kind of has its own like spirit in a way, and so sometimes it takes a while to kind of realize those moments.
Yeah.
But it is. It's there's. I often feel like there's that David Bowie quote where it's like, a song isn't a song until you play it live. I butchered whatever that was. But
no, but like, I'm familiar.
That's the sentiment. Oh. And there is something to be said about, like, you can get in your head and you can have this idea of what music is. And music is very personal and it can be very solitary, but also most music is very... It's about humans, it's about connection, it's about it's collaboration, it's all of that. And so when you finally get to like play it for somebody, it doesn't even have to be like a live show, just like in for somebody, the song like immediately gets lifted up, like it has a new sense of self in a way. So.
Oh, that's beautiful. You know, all the songs on this release of yours, they're all relatable, but Call It What It Is has two of those tracks where everybody knows what you're talking about without having to ask. Like, that's one of those songs where it's like the tone in which you're singing, the words, just the overall vibe of the song. It's like, I know what this girl is thinking. And it also sounds like it was a song that was very fun to make. Do you remember what that day was like in the studio? Was that kind of a special day for you?
Yeah, that was a really cool day. I had the pleasure of having like really awesome rhythm section. This guy, Aaron Sterling, out in LA, came in and played drums, and then Tyler Chester, who I made the record with, was on bass. And it was just this like beautiful studio, and we just like went in there, and again, it was one of those things where I'm a big fan of like you kind of go into the studio and you kind of live in this like whatever's happening in the moment, and yeah. I feel like all of those like special moments end up staying, and then if you're like, oh, you know, actually I feel like I want to add this into the song or whatever, you can do it later, but it was so nice to like just like play that live, you know, and I was in the control room playing guitar and singing, and they were in the booth, so it was awesome. It was very special.
Yeah. How do you feel when you are in the studio? Like, because it's interesting when you were describing CalArts and then like that experience you had with like busking and being around people like that for so long, and then obviously you have previous experience in the studio. But I wonder, like, how do you feel about it now?
I love being in the studio. I guess it's all about like who you're with and.
Yeah. Like it's all relative.
And what you're doing. And I do love live performance but they're, I feel like they're like it's like a marriage. Like I kind of have to have both or something. It's like and they inform each other and there's just stuff that, I think especially now with technology and everything, like I'm like a deep lover of old music. Like I just like love old records and I love all like anything, like I'm like, oh, if it's past 1965, oh no, like just like a total asshole about it.
So like, but if someone recommends music for you, the first thing you go is like, what year was this?
Yeah, I mean, it's like, it's just horrible. But
2002.
But not to say I do have a deep place in my heart for like 90s music and stuff, but there's something about like through being in the studio, I have realized how like special and amazing like our current time is with creating music. And even though like for so long I had this like very nostalgic, like you just go in, you rehearse with your band for like, you know, a year, get the songs dialed, you play it live, that's the record. Which is awesome and is great in and of itself.
Yeah.
But the studio can bring out like these completely other, like new ways of emoting, new ways of creation. And I love it. Like I love like electronic music and Ableton and like using all of these like samples and all this stuff. So the studio, but I think it was through the studio that made me love that, is because you can kind of like dive into something strange.
I feel like this was very apparent on your release on Lonesome No More, because I think what's interesting is that, like, reading up on you and seeing the reactions to your music, a lot of people bring up, like, a throwback vibe or, like, an old school vibe. But when I was listening to it, everything did feel very modern to me in the sense that, like, yeah, there's this element of love for the old, but almost like this embracing of the new, especially if how the songs bleed into one another.
Yeah. Ah, thank you. That is... That was my goal.
I was going to ask you that. Like, was it, because you mentioned how you love, like, kind of, like, music from a certain time, but I imagine when you were making your own music, it was crucial for you to make sure people didn't only focus on that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think, because I write all personal music and I try to be very, it's really important to me to be writing of our time. Like, how to, you know, and being aware of everything that's going on in the world and writing from that place, and how to balance that with also, like, what you love, you know? Like, you can't deny, you know, if someone, like, just loves grunge music and, you know, then just play grunge music. You know, like, you know, like, there's, I think often people, like, try to erase their influences or erase the thing that they love.
No, completely.
But yeah, the record is definitely, like, my intention with it was this idea of, like, what happens when, like, old meets new, when, like, analog meets digital, mm-hmm. and then, like, on more of a spiritual level, like, what happens when, you know, the right and the left side meet, and it's a lot about this, like, gray area that we don't talk about often in America and in the world, this very, like, you know, stuck in this binary place where it's like, you're this or you're that, you know, you're Republican or you're Democrat, you're this or that, and so it's, my whole goal with music in general is how to, like, bring people together and also just talk about what is that gray area. Like, it's okay to be something in between. Like, you don't have to fulfill this, like, full identity of one side, because oftentimes we lose empathy for the other side if we do that. So
yeah, it's interesting you talk about it in that way, though, because I think that element of the gray area is so prevalent just on virtue of the fact that you're singing about your real experiences, you're singing about real emotions. Mm-hmm. And, like, you know, I have asked musicians this in the past, and it is always interesting to me, but, like, when you're revealing yourself so much, is there any part of you that's almost hesitant when you think about the fact that people will think this, not that people think this is you, but just, like, people will know things about you or, like, surmise things about you?
Yeah, I think it's a constant battle to try to overcome being hesitant. I think that's, like, a probably, like, a natural instinct that exists, but I think, I don't know, I strive for, like, honesty in music, and even if it's painful and hard. I think the original kind of way I started writing music was, like, I can't say these words in my life, so I can, like, make them into songs. I think that, you know, that, like, feeling of being exposed and vulnerable, like, oh, am I really gonna say this right now?
I want to ask you more about lyrics, but before I do, I want to ask about instrumentation a bit more, particularly with I Am to You, Who Am I to You, which is such a beautiful end note for this project. I found that the instrumentation was timed so beautifully on the song, like, that stuck out to me. And when I heard the track, I could tell it must have been difficult to approach the song, because it is a song that's so simple yet lively. Like, there's elements that become incorporated as the song progresses. And it's one of those things where it's like, I imagine originally you probably thought, I want to keep this so simple, just my voice and the piano. Mm-hmm. What was it like figuring out how to add in those other elements, and how did this song just come together?
Yeah. This was the last song, this wasn't going to be on the record, and I had written it, like, kind of, this is the most recent one that I had written, and I just, like, felt really connected to this song, and so I remember, like, playing it on piano, and in my head I had it in there. I was like, I want to, like, have this intimate piano part, and then I want it to go into this, like, instrumental section. And it was kind of one of those, it was really, like, natural, actually, which was really cool. Like, not all songs are like that, where it was kind of and it was definitely, like, a collaboration between me and Tyler, and we I was like, I want to play the song, and then I want it to go into this section. And originally, I thought it was going to be, like, a big string section, like, kind of an orchestrated thing. And then we just started playing around with all of these different sounds, and we just kind of formed that in a very, like, it just felt very natural. It felt very like, oh yeah, this is where it's gonna go. Like, the song kind of almost told us what to do.
Yeah.
Which was awesome. So
that's incredible, though. Yeah. Like, I mean, when you experience something like that in real time, like, what does it even feel like in your mind? Like,
I don't know. I get just really excited because it's like I think I, you know, having anybody like on board with my creative like projects is just like such an honor in a way, and it's so like to be able to have that like moment where you're creating something that, like, you know, I wrote the song in my bedroom when I really felt something, like, yeah. And so you have this in your head, like, you're just like alone, like, writing these songs, and so when you're able to like share that with somebody and collaborate and it just flow and feel like the music is just kind of coming through, it's really special.
Yeah, yeah. I can get that. You know, yeah. One of the things I found very moving listening to Silence Will Help Me Now, and even so, like, one of the big things that stuck out to me, I read an interview that you do with NPR where you describe the song as an anthem to myself to console on the heartaches of life and to speak up for my truth in hopes of other people do the same. Mm-hmm. That's a great quote, by the way. That really touched me. Yeah, well, that really touched me because it's one of those things where, like, I felt like that was clear on the track, but to read that, I felt like it really pinpointed to me what you were conveying even more and, like, elevated that to me. I'd love to hear you talk about that, specifically what that song means to you as the person who wrote that.
Yeah. That song, like I said in the quote.
But it's going off the court.
It's a really personal song. I actually had written it I was just jamming out in my room. Yeah. And it was kind of like this like anthem. And it was very stylistically very different than everything I've ever done, and also very different than anything else on the record. But I was just like jamming out to this song, and the feeling of just like speaking up kept like coming up, and it was, I think, like, I have, through my like upbringing and everything, I've felt silenced and felt like I don't know how to speak up, and primarily about, like, you know, speaking up as a woman and what that is, and trying to abandon these like ideas of traditional roles of women. And it also was like being heightened by, like, Trump had just gotten elected, and there were just like a lot of things where I was just feeling like I have to say something, I have to do something. And so I just started writing it in my room. Like, I made this beat and was like, probably like I'm a crazy person, just like had this beat on Logic and just like had a vocal set up, just like singing in my room to myself. Yeah. But it just like felt so good to sing. It felt like it was almost just like I needed to do it for myself. And sometimes I just try to do that, where I write songs just to like get out what I really, what I want to hear, like as a comfort, or yeah, what like I want to project a version of myself so that I can maybe live that. And that was kind of the intention with this song, and was just speaking up and not allowing all of these things to kind of like bring you down. And what happens when we do speak up and we do feel empowered, and we do encourage people to feel empowered. So that was kind of the initial reasoning behind it. And then once I kind of wrote the song, I was like, oh, this is a song. This isn't just like a jam.
Yeah.
And I was really excited about it. And that one, that song means a lot to me. It was definitely probably one of the most personal songs I've written. So it's very like, and also a very, it was very like exposed moment. It almost felt like I was being exposed to like my family and my upbringing as like, this is who I am now, yeah, in a way. But yeah.
I love that.
I don't know if that completely trailed off the question.
No, it didn't. It didn't at all. It really harkened to like what I was asking about. And it reminded me about something that a good friend of mine, my friend Susanna, said. She was talking about like, well, we were talking generally about like how the world is now as in regards to like the political climate and how people are very much more outspoken than ever before, especially like women and female artists. And like she was saying that something that she feels with like herself and her friends particularly is that a lot of women, and this is quoting her of course, but a lot of women feel it's so empowered, feel so important to feel, to be empowering with their words within themselves, because we're in a world where you won't get that from the outside world.
Yeah.
And it's like crucial to like lift yourself up because totally. You're not gonna get it from the world. And I feel like absolutely. That's kind of essentially what you're describing as well.
Yeah, I think the more that we can like feel comfortable in our voice and feel comfortable speaking up and feel comfortable saying no and feel comfortable like all of those things, like it'll hopefully like we can get to a place of equality.
I definitely agree with that. You know, one of the things that I found myself thinking about after I was listening to this project, and it's been on my mind even well before I knew I was going to get the chance to talk with you, so it's kind of trippy being able to ask you this, but as a songwriter, do you find yourself surprised by the role love can play within your craft? Because the songs throughout the record greatly deal with love, and I imagine as an artist, you find yourself being surprised by that, even though you wrote these songs.
Yeah, the role of love. Oh, man.
That was pretty, like, Cal Arts art talk,
role,
right?
The role. That should be, like, a 70s song, like, the role of love.
You'll have to trademark me, though, if you use it.
There you go. Absolutely. I think, you know, I so often, like, go through this thing in my head where I'm like, Virgin, stop writing about love. Stop writing about heartbreak. Stop writing about somebody doing you wrong. Stop writing about falling in love. Like, but the truth is like that's what moves us as people, you know. And I think that love has everything to do with music and like an expression and it being able to tap into like these really deep feelings and. And a lot of my songs are definitely like stemming from a very particular some sort of love. But it is also interesting balancing that almost like, I don't know, like nasty artist thing where like you have that like craterness in the back of your brain when you are like with somebody or you're going through heartbreak or you're falling in love or something, and like there's there's a thing in the back of your head that sometimes tries to form these like moments into songs,
yeah,
and which can be almost like really unhealthy for whatever the relationship is.
But you feel conscious of that, right?
I feel like it's like this little like devil on my shoulder. You know what I mean? That's like
at least it's not internal.
Like
it's not like an internal thing.
Yeah, where it's like you're devil. Going through hell, you're having the worst heartbreak of your life, but you know what? It's just gonna be great for a song. But it's just so fucked up. And so it's like this like I don't know, and I guess like it's almost like I'm willing to go through and end up subjecting myself to a lot when it comes to love and relationships. And like opening my heart up really intensely because of this outlet that I have, of this outlet. Like, you know what? If this doesn't work out, I have this like my deep love of music and I can use this life experience into a song, which I don't know if is like, I don't know, that's a good thing. It probably isn't a good thing. And like, it's funny when you kind of witness other people in your life, like other songwriters in your life doing that, and you're like, no, that's so messed up. Like, cause art to me is like, art for art's sake or music for music's sake is meaningless. Like, I feel that music and art is just a vessel, it's a medium for whatever the human experience is.
Yeah.
And so when that little devil on my shoulder like speaks to me and goes, oh, subject yourself to this like this either a positive thing, like diving into love or subjecting yourself into like heartache. There's sometimes I have this like, oh, but it's for a greater reason. Which could be just a terrible thing. It probably.
I doubt that it is.
People are all you listeners out there, don't you listen to me?
But people are connecting, because like that's what I really want to. I found myself curious about, especially knowing that you just performed last night at Rockwood. Like, how have you been finding it performing these songs? Because like we mentioned, these songs are innately very personal, and like I feel like as an artist, that elevates just how you feel on the stage when you're performing, right?
Yeah. I end up feeling like really exhausted by it, like, and I think in a fine way, but like I do a lot of like jazz music back in LA, and do a lot of like gigs where I'm just like playing standards, and I feel like I'll play for 3-4 hours and get out of there and be like, oh, awesome, feeling great, like going home, like,
yeah, like a breeze.
Yeah, and I'll play like 20 minutes of my own music, and I feel like I can't stand up afterwards. Like, I'm just like, somebody carry me, someone give me a gin and tonic, somebody like.
Is that because like it's like a release for you, like the songs? Like what they mean are on your mind while you're performing?
Definitely. And I think they're just personal, and I think I often can feel like I try to, in my life, I think I can struggle to like really say what I want and really like dive into like that deep part of myself. But when I write songs, it's like, there, I'm able to really connect to that part of myself, whether it's a positive thing or maybe a really nasty thing. Like, whatever it is, I'm able to really be in myself and be really exposed and be really raw. And so when I play the songs, I can't help but like feel those feelings really intensely.
But, well, tell me this though, because like that kind of leads me to wonder, like with your voice, it's very front and center on all your tracks, but there's also this band element to your music, where, and I love that, by the way, I love when there's a project where it's somebody's name, but then you listen to it and you realize it's so much more than just a solo endeavor. It's like a true band-like endeavor. How do you feel about how you perform with the band and that special synergy that you guys have together?
I love it. During this record, I played a lot solo, and I was kind of working out the arrangements, and a lot of like rotating band members, and I'm now getting into this like groove of the same band members, and I love it. It's like, I don't know. I think that feeling of making music with somebody that you're connected to is just such a beautiful feeling, and it just like being with these people, even like just in rehearsal, and like feel like, oh man, we're like, we're making something together, like this feels so great. And it I love it. And also just the little relationships between players is so like little musical relationships, like the way the bass and the drums like lock in, and the way, you know, a guitar and the keys can like talk to each other, and I love it. I love playing with the band.
That's amazing. You know, before I let you go here, I brought up how the songs on Lonesome No More are very personal, and it isn't the most original question I asked, but I feel it's interesting considering where you are in your career, because it's still early days, and I can't help but wonder, like, what has it been like to have people come up to you and say that they can relate to these songs? Because we talked about very much how you feel about your music, but obviously people have been reacting to them. Like, what's it been like to have people be like, I know what you're talking about?
It's happened a couple times, and it to me, it like, it means the world. Like, I think, not to dive too deep into this, but I definitely, with my upbringing and I grew up in a very conservative environment, religious environment, and I always kind of felt like this outcast, and kind of just went on this like musical journey, and that was kind of my like way of expressing my own self, and But I had never met anybody in my life, still haven't met anybody in my life, who has the same kind of feeling about what I went through and has the same opinion about it. And
well, can you go into that then? Like, what do you mean?
I grew up very conservative religious Mormon, and my family still is practicing, and within that religion, a lot of it is like you're in or you're out.
Yeah.
And I just don't believe in that. Like, I just don't believe in this, like, that idea of like yes or no. I don't know. It's like there's so much more nuance, and so every, like, I felt like I couldn't connect with the Mormons because there was just things I wasn't connecting with. Like, I was like, I don't agree with this. Like, I don't. And I remember the first time I felt that. I remember I was young and I was in like Sunday school, and they were talking about how, so there's like these tiers of there's like the prophet, and then the prophet has all these tiers, and then there's all of these tiers, and they're all men.
Okay.
And I remember being like, why can I be the prophet? Can I be the prophet? Like, and I went home and I told my mom, like, why can I be the prophet, Mom?
And what'd she say?
And she looks at me and she just like, she like kind of like bit her lip and was like, I don't know. I don't know. Like, and you felt her like being like, I don't know. Like, I wish, you know, like, but like she's, that was like how she was raised. And so it was kind of this like, nope, your role is to be a mom and a wife and to make babies and that's it. And
yeah, I'm not largely familiar with Mormonism. Like, I know of some tenets, but is that like an explicit rule that women have a very insular, particular role?
Yeah. And it's not to the extreme of like women can't work, but it's very much like women's role is to be a wife and a mother and like, and to support their husband. And that's just like not my life path. Yeah, so
that's not really your bag, is it?
No. So it was kind of like a, there was just a lot of things that I disagree with, but I just didn't feel connected to what the other side was, which is like people who are like very outwardly like ex-Mormon, like fuck the church, blah, blah, blah. Like, I don't agree with that anger. I don't like that. Like, I am super lucky to have like a really supportive family. And even though like it's a very kind of unspoken conversation about this, like there is love. And so I've always felt this, like, even through the pain or these like difficult times, just feeling like there is no one on this planet who understands me. And I still haven't like personally met anybody in that place. Through music and through writing these songs, there's a lot of like very specific things in the songs that like if you grew up Mormon kind of could pick out. And I had somebody who I had like an older person who I who was a neighbor reach out to me and say like I didn't know anybody else felt that way too. And wow. Like I just started crying my eyes out because I'm just like, that was the first time that I felt like that's my whole, I guess my whole like goal with music is to like just make people feel like there's somebody else that feels this way.
Yeah.
And whether it means specifically that or in general. And so it meant the world to me. It's like, it's, yeah, I think I'll always cherish that moment or those moments of somebody like saying like, oh, I know what that experience is. And that's like the beauty of music and art is being able to like have this commonality for how like chaotic lives can be and different lives can be. There's like, there are these very, these are these emotions that you can connect to. And that's what I love, like when you could hear a song and I could hear a song and we could think they're about completely different things.
Yeah.
But we connect to just what the feeling and the emotion is. So it's really special when someone can be like, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Well, that's amazing. Well, thanks for sharing so much with me, honestly. Like, thanks for opening
hard
up.
Hard on
there.
The sleeve. Living on 3 hours of sleep is like, hey.
Well, no, I appreciate it more than sure people listening do too. Lord Jean, thanks for talking to me today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.